All right. All right.
Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for the music. We thank you for the opportunity to share. We thank you for every way that you have interacted with us this morning and let us be with each other and with you. We ask now that as we come to your word, that you would please speak to us. Open our hearts and our minds to understand what you have to say to us and to let it live in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. What the world needs now. Do you know that song? Some of you know that song. But really, what does the world need now? I looked for polls about what the world needs now, and I couldn't find anything specific. I saw things relating to political agendas and priorities in the United States. But as I reflect on what I've heard on people's minds, listening to the news and talking to people day to day, some things come to mind for me. I think about jobs. The world, if you ask some people, especially people who didn't have a job right now, you ask, what does the world need now? They would say, we need more jobs. They might even get out on the street, whatever country they're in, and say, we need more jobs. And you'd see them on the news. If you go around elsewhere, you'd hear people saying, we need more oil. Drill, baby, drill, remember? We need more oil. The price of gas is so high, if we had more, the price would go down. Or other forms of energy. People are saying, we need energy. We need ways to power our computers, our iPods, our cars, everything that we have that makes modern life so wonderful. Or you talk to people, and there's not that many people talking about this one, but this is probably one of the more actual, real ones that we should be thinking about. What the world needs now is more water. And I'm not just talking about in the context of the drought here. There's more and more population in the world that has a harder and harder time getting drinkable water. And that's stuff that people get crazy about. So you could very well make a case that what the world needs now is more water. And then, of course, food, although you know, as well as I probably know, that there is enough food in the world to feed everybody. It's just not getting to all the people that need it, you know that. But still, when you're hungry, it would be very easy to say, when you ask the question, what does the world need now? What the world needs now is more food. And of course, we hear the voices telling us that in the light of global warming, what the world needs now is global cooling, reduction in greenhouse gases, all kinds of things. But you know what? When it comes down to really the center of it, I think the old song got it right. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. You remember that? In the verse it says, Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains enough. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And some might feel in their heart, oh man, I thought we were going to have some messages of substance, stuff we could dig our teeth into. Oh, I've heard people talking about issues in Christianity, issues in the world, issue in Seventh-day Adventist teaching, saying, oh, we got to stop just talking about love, 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 love. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there is nothing deeper than love. There is nothing more at the center of the Father's heart. There's nothing more behind Jesus coming to earth than love. Love is no simple summary and glossing over issues. Love is the answer to every issue. Love is not a way to avoid issues. Love is the way to meet issues. Love can address every detail of any issue that you and I could face or ponder in our minds. Do you believe that? I hope that you're convinced that love is truly the answer. Love is higher, deeper, and wider because God is love, and He is higher, deeper, and wider than anything that we could understand or comprehend. And love is behind every action of God. Now, I promised you that we are going to be delving into the three angels' messages of Revelation chapter 14. And you might wonder about what the world needs now is love as an introduction to that. But let me tell you, along with everything else in the Bible, these messages come from the heart of a Father who wants to save as many people as possible. And he is giving his word to the world in as many different ways as he can so that people can understand and believe and hang on to him through whatever comes. I only have one more slide on the PowerPoint. We're going to put our noses in the Bible a little bit. I want you to see stuff. I want you to know that I'm not pulling any sleight of hand on these scriptures. When I put them on the screen for you, there are pew Bibles in front of you. If you brought your Bible, if you brought your electronic device that has the Word of God in it, I want you to go and look and see in the Father's heart in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Just what God's agenda is behind every counsel that he gives, behind every warning that he gives, behind every invitation he gives, behind every word of welcome and reassurance that he gives, is this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And it's very relevant to those of us who are Seventh-day Adventists and those who have grown up or come into this faith, or if you're looking into it, 2 Peter chapter 3, 9, it is so relevant. It says this, after asking about how long it's been since God has promised that Jesus would come. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us." And here's the look into his heart. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." What the world needs now is love. What the world needs now is to see into the heart of the Father as you and I have seen right here through the lens of this verse. He wants to save everyone. Manufacturers make so many things that are disposable today, right? So many things that are meant to be used once and thrown away. That is not how God creates people. Every last single human being, he created to enjoy his friendship forever. He did not make anyone disposable. There is no one dispensable. And I'm not just talking about in the church. I am talking about in the whole wide world that you see, people that you see on the streets, people that flash across the news screen of your TV or of your computer. There is not one disposable person according to the heart of the Father. And as far as I'm concerned, that means that is reality. He is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. You've read the scriptures, you've read the warnings, the Bible prophecy of the things that are destined to break loose on the earth, and we see them already starting. And you know that God has predicted dire situations. Praise the Lord, he has also given us dire answers that are equal to every one of those things. And one of the things that he has given that I believe is a special privilege that we have had in our history as Seventh-day Adventist believers in Jesus Christ is something that you may have heard of. Could anyone tell me? I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I'd like to honestly know this, and of course it goes without saying that if you don't want to answer this, you don't have to. But I'm wondering if there's... That kind of makes the whole little poll useless. I'll just tell you so that you can know how useless my thinking can be at times. Is there anyone who has never heard of the three angels' messages? See, what use is asking a question like that, especially when you give people freedom to not answer it if they don't want to? It's rather pointless. How many of you have ever heard of the three angels' messages? All right. Did the cameras catch that so that we can tally later on and do a study? No, we don't have cameras to do that. But all my life growing up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, ever since I acquired language, I have heard of the three angels' messages. I've heard people talk about coming to be a Seventh-day Adventist and saying, using the term something to the effect of, when I came into the three angels' messages. Boy, if you didn't know what that meant, and you heard someone saying, I am so thankful for the day I came into the three angels' messages, that would leave you more questions than answers, wouldn't it? We got to clean up our language, don't we? So that people actually understand what we're saying. But anyway, I've heard that, and I've evangelistic series promised to teach us the three angels' messages. And over growing up. But you know what? As time has gone on, that bothersome term has grown less and less in my hearing. I don't hear it as much anymore, the three angels' messages. And you know what I say? I say that's just as well if we don't know what we're talking about when we say it. Because we have enough catchphrases, enough things that we say that are shorthand for stuff we don't even understand or know. But today, and in the coming weeks, I want that to change. Because I want you to understand what this precious expression of the heart of love that God has for this world is. I want you to know it for two reasons. I want you to know because I want you to hear it for yourself and embrace what God is calling you to. And I want you to know it because I believe with all my heart that God raised up this body of believers not because he felt there weren't enough denominations in the world. I believe he raised us up with a special calling for this message. If you go back in Seventh-day Adventist history, clear to William Miller, who actually never was a Seventh-day Adventist, but he's the one through whom God sparked the great Second Advent movement of the early, mid-19th century. And as he became convicted to preach a message which he incorrectly tied and understood a time prophecy, but the message was that Jesus was coming and people needed to be ready for the judgment of God, he began to recognize in Revelation chapter 14 and starting in verse 6 that this message was the message that is predicted to go around the world before Jesus comes. And so he started talking about the first angel's message and others who came to join him in his conviction and who later, after they were disappointed because Jesus didn't come when they thought he would, continued to study the Word of God, began to look at this second angel in Revelation 14 and the third angel in Revelation 14, and they recognized a charter for the message that God was calling them to understand and proclaim to prepare people for the coming of Jesus and the times that would come before it, so that no one need be deceived by the wiliest schemes of the devil, and everyone can keep their eyes on Jesus and walk all the way through safely, ready for Jesus to come to go home with him forever. Because that's what Jesus is after. And so they saw this, and they preached this, and they began to talk about the three angels' messages. They began to talk about the prophecies that surround the three angels' messages and summarize their messages, their own message, their own calling in the world as the proclamation of the three angels' messages. Now, what has happened since is that I began to hear voices. I've begun to hear voices, not simply the ones in my head, but also in the church and in the world around me, saying, you know, we Adventists have been preaching this and proclaiming this for now at least 160 years. Isn't it time that we moved beyond that? Isn't it time that we let go of these 19th century trappings that hang on to us and make us confusing and hard to understand by the world around us? A world that nobody's looking for understanding the three angels' messages. Have you had anyone walk up to you on the street or in the mall or at your workplace and say, "You know what? I've been wondering what the three angels' messages are all about. Could you tell me?" Is there anyone who's had anyone walk up to you out in the pub? No. People are not asking about the three angels' messages. And so people say it's time we just let go of this. And some say, let's just focus on Jesus. Some say, let's just focus on helping people in different ways. But it's time that we just let that fade away into our history. We thank God that He used it to help bring us together. We treasure it in our museums of Adventist history. But it's time that we let go of that and move beyond. Well, here's what I want to do. It's not going to take that long. Did I make you happy? All right. It's not going to take that long. I want you to open the handiest Bible that you have near to you to Revelation chapter 14. And I want you to notice something. Give you time to look at this, because I don't want you to think I'm glossing over anything. I don't want you to think I'm putting any dot, dot, dots where they shouldn't be. I want you to notice something. We're not going to read every word, but we're going to look at the flow of it. We'll get into the details in the coming weeks. Revelation 14, starting in verse 6. The beginning of Revelation section that's about the 144,000 messengers of God worshiping Him there in heaven beautifully. In verse 6, it says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." And it goes on to give that message. And then in verse 8, it says, "And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen," and so on. Verse 9, "Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice," and it gives a warning about the mark of the beast. We'll get into all of this in the coming weeks. And if you see, this third angel's message continues on down through the next verse, and it continues on in a message of hope in verse 12, and then a message of blessing about the dead who die in the Lord in verse 13. And then I want you to notice what happens in verse 14. It says, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." What do we normally call this event? The harvest. The second coming of Jesus. In parables, in the Gospels, Jesus called the second coming, when He would return, the harvest. So here we have these three messages being given, and do you see a kind of a holding time? A time when pause is pushed between that and Jesus coming? Do you see that in there? Scan over it again, starting in verse 6. You see the first angel's message, then you see the second angel's message, and then you see the third angel's message, a little encouragement, and then Jesus is coming to harvest the earth. There is no gap, my friends. This message is relevant to our time, and let me tell you, just like when you're trying to get your kids ready for church or for school, and it's getting closer and closer to the time that you got to leave, it gets more relevant. The more time goes on, the more this message gets relevant. Don't you think? Absolutely. We need to understand this. We need to take it into our lives and ask God, by His grace and by His Spirit, how to work through us so that He can get this message to all the people of this world so that as many as possible will come to repentance, will come to know him and turn their lives towards him instead of running away from him so that he can save as many as possible because that is what he's after. And let me tell you, far from a message of legalism and harshness and burdensomeness, if that's a word, this is a message that is rooted in, grounded in, centered in, and unfolds in love. This is the central way that the world needs to be loved by us. Amen. To open the doors, to let them know that a loving Father has told us how to navigate keeping our eyes on Jesus, never letting go of our faith in him, no matter how it's tested, no matter how many deceptions Satan and his cohorts cook up, to keep looking to him and to go all the way through with our eyes fixed on Jesus, trusting in him, confident in our salvation in him, ready for him to come. This is it. Did you, by the way, notice my tie? You see who's on my tie? Anybody? Notice it? It'd be hard for you to, I wish I had a camera so we could put it up on the screen. I guess if I had thought ahead, I could have scanned my tie. But anyway, that's Noah. Right there is Noah. You can look at the door and see. I didn't bother to check. Oh, interesting. Anyway, you can ask me what was so interesting later, but that's Noah. Do you remember anything about Noah? People debate exactly how long he preached before the flood came. The common statement of it, based on putting things together in Genesis, is 120 years. And some people say, how do you know he preached? Well, Peter tells us that he preached. Noah preached for around 120 years. To warn the people that the flood was coming. That's kind of a mean message, isn't it? Unless you're building a boat and inviting people in, right? Look at all the wickedness. You got to turn from it and you got to come into the boat. Come into the boat. There is a way to be rescued. There is a way to be saved. Now, some aspects of the three angels' messages, if we get into them, seem harsh. They're a little bit hard to read, hard to swallow, but the whole thing is a message of love, and God has called us like Noah. No matter how long it takes, to keep on opening those doors, to keep on giving that word that he has called us to do. You remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. He talks about the uncertainty of the timing of his coming, and he introduces it in these words, Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Is this person he's talking about a privileged person? Better believe it's a privileged person, a person that he has entrusted. He said, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. We are blessed. We are not better than anyone else in this world. We are not a cut above. We don't have any right to look down our noses at anybody. Everybody is what? Indispensable. Remember that? There's no throwaways. We have no right to look down our nose at anybody. But we can praise the Lord that he has privileged us with, whether we have personally absorbed it or not, being part of a community that has been blessed with so much understanding of Bible prophecy and what God has in love revealed about what is going to happen and about how to stay faithful to him, faithfully trusting in Jesus through it all. We are so blessed and so privileged. And so, he has given it to us, not so that we can hang on to it, not so that we can while away the time telling people, our fellow servants or whoever, too bad for you that he didn't give you what he gave me. No, he He has given it to us so that we can give food in due season and to keep doing that all the way until he returns. My prayer is that we go through this series, that your heart will be blessed with understanding the simplicity of God's message. This is not a message that he has given for scholars, although scholars find much to delight in and study down to the deepest depths. This is not a message that he's given as a kind of a Sudoku puzzle test so that only those people who can pass it can get in. This is simple. This is plain. And you'll find it easy to understand, and thus my prayer is easy to share as well. Could you see yourself on board with the Father's heart of love? So that the same thing that moved him to send this message will move you to be a part of it? That you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Rachel Hyman, who has come to bless us with music this evening, is going to bless us with a song right now. A song that's very special. She'll probably tell you a little bit more about it. But I hope you hear the call of God in this song. And then I will have the closing prayer.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to sing Blessed is the Man with a Vision. You know, I came here this morning, and I've been to about four churches in a row over the last few weeks giving some concerts. And I would have to say this church has the most potential when it comes to the churches that I've been to in the last few weeks to really reach out to the community. You've got a gorgeous, large sanctuary and church in great condition. And you've got people with smiling faces and love in their hearts. So I Amen. Just want to encourage you, keep studying that message and share it with your friends. Tonight I'll be sharing about how Jews kept their faith in dark times in the Holocaust, and I hope to see you. Blessed is the man with a vision.
It is written, penned by the loving hand of God. My people perish without vision. They go astray. And when a man makes it his mission to go where others have not trod, into the valley of decision to show the way, of him they'll say, man with a vision, hallelujah, one who delights in God's word, hallelujah, he is a lover of Jesus, hallelujah, blessed is the man who fears the tribulation, he will stand steadfast and secure. Gracious is he who shows compassion in all his ways. And when his hands are filled with riches, they're still extended to the poor. This one will bless his generation all of his days. And they will say, in God's word, hallelujah, he is a lover of Jesus, hallelujah, blessed is the man time we've lost our way. He is a beacon in the darkness, and all who hear of him will say, they'll say, hallelujah, blessed is the man with a vision.
To be here tonight, 6:30. We've been blessed in at least two different places to have Rachel come and minister to our churches, and it's always been a blessing. Blessed is the man with a vision. I pray that our vision just comes right into line with the heart of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have been with us this morning as we as worship together. Father, we ask that you would fill our hearts with your heart, that our hearts would also be immersed in your heart. The Father, especially right now, if there's anyone here who has not been sure of your love for them, who when they've heard a bunch of religious talk has only felt alienated and pushed away, that right now, that each one can know that your heart is love. That everything that you do, that everything that you say is just you reaching out for another way to embrace them and pull each one of us and all of us into your family. Father, let our answer be yes. If you're someone who hasn't been sure that your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life through Jesus, that he has a life planned out for you, we have someone in each one of these front corners of the sanctuary afterwards ready so that you could come to them and talk with them and they can share with you from God's word so that you can know that you are his. That you can know that you have eternal life and that you are accepted in his family. Father, I pray for everyone here who has heard your call and who has accepted and who has a desire to keep on following you, that you will open our eyes to our call for this time in earth's history. And that our lives will be completely available to you as you do the miracle of calling people to yourself through us. I pray in Jesus' name.